Central Time. I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we talk to a Milwaukee native and Grammy-nominated music producer who makes beats and music tracks that are heard by millions. First, Toys R Us announced this week that it's closing or possibly selling all 735 of its stores in the U.S. That includes nine here in Wisconsin. A company statement said that about 30,000 people will lose their jobs. Toys R Us began about 70 years ago as a small store in the Washington, D.C. area. It sold various baby items like cribs and strollers. By the 80s and 90s, it became one of the first category killers, meaning it was devoted to and dominated in one thing, toys. But the company lost ground to retailers like Target and then Walmart and then Amazon. And it was saddled with billions of dollars of debt from a buyout. What does this all mean for the toy and retail industries and consumers? Hart Posen is an associate professor of management and human resources at the University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Business. Hart, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me. Happy to be here.
So before we go back to the history of what happened here, how big a story is it now that Toys R Us is leaving the retail world?
You know, this has been a story that's a long time in coming. I trace back these problems to probably 1998, 1999. And so, you know, there's been a coffin here and a nail and another nail and another nail over almost two decades.
Now, when I think retail store closing, I assume all of the story is something like Amazon and maybe other stores, Target, Walmart. That's part of it. We'll get into that. But as I understand it, there's also a story about a buyout and a lot of debt facing Toys R Us. Can you give us that history?
Yeah, this goes back to 2005 when KKR and other sort of the famous leverage buyout firms did a leverage buyout of Toys R Us, and in the process saddled the firm with billions of dollars in debt. And that a lot of that debt still exists there today in one form or another.
And this was a pivotal time if you're a retail store. This was the time when you're looking at the growing competition, you're looking at the internet, you're wanting to spend your money maybe trying to deal with that. Instead, it sounds like Toys R Us, and maybe they weren't the only ones, they were spending that money they could have been using to overhaul to pay off debt service.
Yes and no in the following sense. The problem started for Toys R Us in 98, 99. It was in 98 or 99 when Walmart became the biggest toy retailer in the U.S. ahead of Toys R Us. So yeah, they were the category killer of the 80s, but by the late 90s, Walmart had overtaken them, and at that time also, you know, it was consistent with the start of internet retail. They had a terrible internet retail experience in the late 90s. They eventually had an alliance, a partnership with Amazon, where Amazon ran Toys R Us's online division. Their own work in that area had been so bad. And so the buyout is in part a consequence of failures that preceded it, even though the debt certainly didn't help along the way.
And Toys R Us wasn't the only one going through this kind of story in the 90s and early 2000s, right? As companies, especially the Walmart of the world, grew, a lot of big retailers, famous names, were saying, what do we do now?
Yeah, and it is undoubtedly true that the Walmarts of the world in the late 90s and early 2000s made competitive life really challenging for lots of retailers in lots of different industries. Some figured out how to compete and survive. Others didn't. And then by the time you add on the shift to online retail in toys, you know, Toys R Us never did survive sort of the Walmart onslaught. The Amazon onslaught was another beating that they didn't survive, and what we see today has been coming for ages.
Was it inevitable from the outset, though? I've seen people say, hey, some retailers have survived and maybe could have survived if they made their store an experience. And Toys R Us, I mean, it's a toy store, right? It's more exciting, I imagine, for a kid to be at a toy store than clicking, you know, on the shopping cart. Or maybe not. I don't know. I'm not
maybe
a kid
not.
Now.
You look young. So an example of a store that survived this is Best Buy, right? So if you go back, there was Best Buy in Circuit City, become really big in the 80s and 90s. Circuit City eventually goes away. Best Buy survives. In part, the interesting thing is the toy makers would have loved Toys R Us to survive. They need Toys R Us. And they would have done anything. In fact, there were rumors last week or last month that they were looking at buying the Canadian division of Toys R Us and using that to buy some of the U.S. stores, because the toy makers, the Mattels of the world, need and want someone selling their toys other than simply Amazon and Walmart.
Why is that? Why do I care if I'm a toy maker if my toy is sold at Toys R Us or Amazon or Walmart?
Bargaining leverage. Imagine that you're a manufacturer of Central Time toys. You'd want more than one customer. If all your customer was one big customer, you could only sell to Walmart or to Amazon, then they'd have tremendous bargaining power. And so that's why the electronic firms want Best Buy to survive. The toy firms really wanted Toys R Us to survive.
Talking to Hart Posen from the UW-Madison School of Businesses, looking at the announcement that Toys R Us is done. They're closing all their stores. They may be trying to sell some of them. We'll see what happens there. Hart, what does this mean for consumers? Because from what you were just saying, maybe if I'm a happy toy shopper, Walmart or Amazon negotiate with the toy manufacturers for a cheaper price, I get to get cheaper stuff. True?
True and not true. True in the following sense. On certain things, the price might be lower, but the trade-off is in the comprehensiveness of the selection. Walmart or Target's toy selection, or Costco is now probably the number six toy retailer in the country. Their toy selection is condensed relative to what Toys R Us had, and it's only larger at the holiday season. So in that sense, the selection can be smaller. That's probably not true of Amazon. But what we lose as consumers, and you alluded to it earlier, is the experience of kids being able to touch and feel things. And maybe that doesn't matter if your child is 10, but it certainly matters if your child is 3 or 4. And I think that's the reason that there is some hope here, particularly for smaller mom-and-pop types of toy retailers. There is real room now to offer a kind of selection that differs and a service level that differs.
Yeah, I've heard that in the book sector, for example, when the Borders and Barnes & Nobles came along, they were putting a lot of small bookstores out of business. When Amazon started putting the Borderses of the world out of business, there was an opportunity for smaller bookstores who had survived that initial problem.
It reminds me of that old movie, You've Got Mail, mm-hmm. right? And the bad guy there was a Barnes & Noble kind of bookstore, and now we think of the Barnes & Noble as sort of the good
quaint,
guy.
Old-fashioned, giant bookstore.
I think there's real opportunity for local and regional toy stores that specialize not in selling the same product that Amazon and Walmart sells, but selling a different selection, offering different kinds of services. I think there's a real opportunity for that.
Now, a lot of people, of course, are losing jobs from Toys R Us and from stores like Sears closing stores, Yonkers, others. There's never a great time to lose a job. Wisconsin's job market, for example, today, not the worst possible time to lose a job.
I mean, look, if you're in here in Wisconsin, what's the unemployment rate's in the 3% range. In Dane County, it's less than 3%. There's no good time to lose a job, but now certainly not the worst time to lose a job. But I think we also have to keep in mind that this just this happens continuously. The U.S. economy is very effective at putting firms that are poor users of human capital, dollar capital, physical capital out of business, redeploying it to new businesses that can make better use. And this has always been a strength of the U.S. economy, even if it comes with short-term pain.
Are you watching for a short-term pain for other particular retailers right now? What are the next dominoes that you're watching for?
I don't have an easy answer on that. You know, clearly Sears is still going only in one direction, I think. I think all of the mall-based retailers are still struggling and will continue to struggle, particularly the fashion firms, because it's very hard to tell the product of one youthful fashion firm in the mall from those next door. So this isn't done yet.
And then, Toys R Us closing means there's some pretty big buildings with no occupants right now. What happens there? Do those get snapped up? Do they sit vacant for a long time?
Yeah, I think you might divide the properties that Toys R Us had into those that it owned and those that it didn't own but rather leased. I think it's probably true that some of the stuff they own is some of the older stuff in poorer condition and in weaker areas. I think it can only be seen on a property-by-property basis. And what's happening in malls may have, you know, less to, with the Toys R Us stores that are in better locations, in newer strip centers, I don't think there's one clear answer yet.
Hart, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I'm happy to have been here.
That's Hart Posen, Associate Professor of Management and Human Resources at the UW-Madison School of Business. He joined us to look at the closing of Toys R Us stores, all of them, what it means for the toy and retail industries and consumers.